let's start with the blue line. Seabrook's injured first. Any chance that he would play in July?
I really doubt that Seabrook will be able to go. He had three surgeries, basically 2 weeks or 3 weeks prior to the pause. So I think that would be a long shot at best. I do think there's a chance that Kelvin DeHaan will be able to return to the blue line. He had shoulder surgery, and this has been an issue for him in recent years. He had that surgery done in December, so timeline lines up that he might be available to return to the defensive core. And they dealt Erik Gustafsson at the trade deadline. To me, he was the catalyst. Now, look, this is a far cry from a good power play, but when they were good.
Yeah.
Erik Gustafsson did a nice job getting pucks to the net and setting up Patrick Kane for his one-timer. That's been an Achilles heel with this team all season long.
Yeah, like I'm looking at this back end, and she's a little thin. You got Duncan Keith, and then you've got Ole Madden and Connor Murphy, but it gets a little young after that pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've looked to the youth movement to try to get things going this year. And Adam Boqvist, has been more than serviceable, but they kind of forced him into a number one power play role. And, you know, at 19 years of age, it's a huge step up in class. And he struggled a bit. And then they kind of got back to their senses, like, let's go back to Gustafsson. And then when they realized they were out of it, they dealt Gus at the trade deadline. So they've had him. They've had Nicholas Beaudin got called up. It's been a problem for this team in recent years since the last cup in 2015. The back end has been suspect. The style of play that they've had, Jeremy Colleton played a kind of a man on man or man on man and a half, as he likes to call it, and you need to have speed and puck-moving defensemen, and that's not exactly the personnel they have back there. So they modified that in late November, and the quality of chances they were giving up diminished a bit. They still can give up a lot of high-danger chances.
How much of that is the system? How much of that is, you know, just having young guys around and maybe not necessarily defensive stalwarts?
I think it's a combo. I think it is system. It's asking guys like Duncan Keith and Seabrook, who were in a more traditional, zone type defense that Quenneville implemented. And you're asking them after 13 years to change things, in season. And, and then I also think the personnel fit it all together well. I think they looked at some of the success that other teams had implementing this with the Islanders. The Islanders went from, a very porous decor and went to this system and flipped it around. But I look at the personnel that they have and that of the Blackhawks, and I don't think it lines up. So I think it's a combo. I think it is partly system and partly personnel.
Breaking down the Chicago Blackhawks, Pat Boyle joins us, NBC Sports Chicago pre- and post-game show for that. Pat, the Oilers have some pretty decent centermen. When you look at Leon and Connor, assuming they play a part, there's some unique players as far as Tay, Strom, and Doc. Young, fairly skilled in the 2-3-4 spot. Would that be a fairly big area of concern for Jeremy as they gear up for this series?
No question about it. I think lack of depth down the middle has been an issue for this team the last few years. And I would expect probably Tay's line to go up against McDavid's. From that point, it's like, Dylan Strome was a nice find last year when they made the deal with Arizona. He had played with Alex DeBrincat in the OHL, and they had tremendous chemistry. This past season, Dylan Strome fell out of favor a bit with the team, in the sense of he wasn't putting up points, and neither was Alex DeBrincat. They moved him to wing for a while, and you know, he's in a contract year, and so you kind of have a young guy that's worried about his future, not knowing if the organization has any faith in him as a centerman. And then you had, you know, Edmonton's own Kirby Dach, who I think comported himself fantastically this year as a 19-year-old. He's made great strides. Is he ready to go up against Drysdale's line? I mean, that would be a tall task. So I think the lack of depth down the middle is a big question mark for the Blackhawks heading into this series.
Yeah, without question, because there's not a better 1-2 center punch in the NHL right now, I believe, than McDavid and Drysdale. Or Drysdale just won the Art Ross, and McDavid obviously is. I think his resume speaks for himself. So if you look at it from a coaching perspective and line matchups, well, because Nugent Hopkins played a lot with Drysdale, but then he actually played the last few games before the season was postponed with Connor McDavid. And I wonder if the matchup of Jonathan Toews, he'll get either McDavid or Drysdale, whichever one is playing with Nugent Hopkins. Do you think that's the most likely option?
That would make sense to me. You would put your best defensive centerman with, say, DeBrincat and Saad, and you would put them on the line that has Nugent Hopkins and either McDavid or Dreisaitl. And then that's where, you know, that's where the Patrick Kane issue comes. You know, he's so great and so talented offensively. Are his line mates able to pick up the slack defensively? That's why I think there's a good chance you could see Kirby Dach and, you know, his line, which, you know, it could be Dominic Kubalik, who's been a great find. He finished third in the rookie point race as far as points this year. We could see Andrew Shaw come back. He had a concussion in November, and, you know, some thought maybe that might be career threatening. That's another thing. When we return to training camp in early July, we'll get our first glimpse of where Shaw is at. And, you know, he could be, you know, an X factor in this series, certainly something the Blackhawks could use.
When this was announced that the Oilers would play the Hawks, and we hope that it comes to pass, which we all kind of hope that it will. The one name that popped up for so many of our texters, Corey Crawford. How much of a wild card is this guy, or could he have in a 5-game series to win this? You know, not on his own, but a lot of it on his shoulders.
Yeah, look, he had a great year. He and Robin Leonard were a fantastic 1-2 punch before they dealt Robin at the trade deadline. Corey has stayed here in Chicago during the pause. His wife, actually, they had their second child. So, you know, I think, you know, none of us know what to expect from these guys after being off for such a long period of time. I mean, I don't look at it almost like an extension of what we saw in the regular season. I almost look at it as a new season altogether. And the Blackhawks, after cup wins, have had about this much time off before they've returned to action. So how quickly can these goaltenders adjust to seeing live fire? I would expect to see Crawford at the team's facility within the next week or so, as soon as that opens up. And the guys that have remained here in Chicago, Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith, and others, to get over there and get Corey up to speed. But, you know, I think he goes down, and I don't know how you guys look at it, but I think he goes down as one of the underrated pieces on those two Stanley Cup winning teams. I think he's far better than what people give him credit for, and I think in a series like this, especially a best of five, yeah, I think he could be certainly the difference to keep this team in it.
We are talking about the Chicago Blackhawks. Of course, that's who the Oilers will be playing in the first round. I'm going to call playoffs because to me, hey, if you win, you move on. If you lose, you go home. Play-ins, playoffs, play on, whatever. It's playoffs with something on it. Pat Boyle joins us, pre- and post-game host for the Blackhawks. And, you know, you mentioned Crawford, and I said it to Stride, that's the one concern I have about the Hawks is if Crawford gets hot, because I think the Oilers, top to bottom, their forward group is better. I think their blue line has more experience, you know, without question. So it's more so goaltending. I know Mike Smith, you know, was good last year, but Corey Crawford has been really good at times for the Blackhawks. And, you know, he's had some injuries, obviously, the last few years. Pat, is he a guy who could really benefit from this extra time off? And now if he just gets himself back into it, that, you know, he might be a difference maker.
Yeah, and by injuries, you mean the concussion issues he's had. Now, this past year, he only had one time where he was out of the lineup, and it wasn't for a long period of time. So you obviously like to see time between concussions. This has been a good year for him in that case. He's also playing for a contract, guys. They had their choice. They had Robin Leonard on an expiring contract and Corey Crawford. So I always factor that into the equation too, right? A guy playing for a payday, and he just got a new place here in downtown Chicago. And as I mentioned, he's got two young kids, and this is probably going to be, I would say, at 35 or 36, his last, you know, big deal or at least substantial deal. I think he could certainly benefit from this time off. And I don't know how you guys look at it, but like I always look at, you know, youth when you're looking at time constraints as like being able to kick it into gear. But with the situation we're going through right now, I'm wondering how much experience will factor into it. You know, I know that Connor and Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins only have, 13 playoff games under their belt. I do wonder when you've got to ramp up in a hurry what it's like for a Jonathan Toews to talk to an Alex DeBrincat or a Kane to, you know, talk to a Dylan Strome about what they can expect and what some things they should work on, especially when, you know, the first part of the returning to the facility, you're not going to have coaches on the ice, so you're going to be relying on guys who've been in the wars and in the battles before to kind of get the message across of where they need to be and how they need to ramp up. So I've kind of looked at it in a couple different ways, and I do think, you know, the experience that the Hawks have could help them certainly set the tone in a short period of time to a group that's relatively young.
Well, it'll be fascinating to see how it goes and how teams react, and I guess more importantly, where they play. And so I wonder if they're in a hub city and the Blackhawks score a goal, will they get the song played? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I heard Chelsea Dagger on my way in. I can understand why you have nightmares from that story. I was wondering that. I wonder in these hub cities if that will be the lone thing we hear. Each team will have their goal song or their respective horn, and we'll have to hear something, right, in an empty arena, I would imagine.
Yeah, I like it. That's something I hadn't really considered. I think that's a great idea. Have their goal song played, because it really doesn't matter, right? And let's try to create a little
buzz. If every team's goal song should be played, yeah, 100%.
I didn't even thought of it. I love it.
No, have all to right. have it. Pat, thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, guys, for having us. Take care.